Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
No, no, stay where you are. Do not break the stillness of this moment, for this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the Haunting Hour. The sixth button. Sleep does not come easily to the harbor. Even at 2 a.m, there is a restlessness fretting the black ships and the green water. The whistles still blow, but their sound is melancholy and weary. The lights along the shore begin to blink their good nights. In one of the harbor's darkening taverns, sleep will be forgotten for some time. Its solitary customer, an ancient sea captain, rests heavily against the bar. Within him burns a tale, and he will not rest till it is told.
2 o'clock. Well, it's getting late, barkeep. You'll be wanting to close.
I'm open till 3.
Well, my ship doesn't weigh anchor till then. You both have time?
Yeah.
You're sure you want to hear the story?
Story? Sure. Why not?
Another glass, then.
Right.
You join me?
I don't mind.
Well, as I say, the land's no place for a man of the sea. Captain Jeremiah Stebbins should have known that. And he should have known there wasn't a crueler man anywhere in the world than Harvey Adams. Captain Stebbins treated Harvey and his wife, Paula, as if they were his own children. He took them in and shared his home with them. But that wasn't enough for Harvey. Oh, no. Harvey knew something about Jeremiah Stebbins' money. And that gave him the idea. The idea that became a mania, a disease. And the disease infected Paula, too.
Harvey, is he?
Let's get started, Paula. We've got to get out of here fast.
Did everything go all right?
Be quiet, Paula. Hurry. Well, it's over. Went as smoothly as clockwork. Just like we planned. It's funny, I don't feel the least bit nervous now. Do you?
I'm frightened, Harvey.
It'll wear off. You know, the moment I laid his hat and stick on the riverbank, a great feeling of peace came over me. Seemed as if I was stepping into a new world. And that's what it's going to be for us, Paula. A new world.
He was good to us, Harvey.
Yes, yes, of course he was. But think how much better he's going to be to us this way. Oh, there's the bridge ahead.
All right.
No cars behind us. Good. All right, now, slow down. Well, here goes the wrench out the window. There. Long may it rest at the bottom of the river. All right, now, back to the house. We've got to be there before Mrs. Weller's returns.
What if we made a mistake?
There's been no mistake, Paula. I'm just as sure of that as I'm sure that Captain Stebbins is dead and lying at the bottom of the river.
As attorney for the late Jeremiah Stebbins, and in accordance with the instructions of the deceased, I have called together you, his beneficiaries, for the reading of his last will and testament.
They've found the body, Mr. Rand?
No, Mr. Adams, not yet. However, the police informed me that Captain Stebbins has been officially declared a suicide.
Oh, I can't believe he's gone, Mrs. Adams. I can't believe it.
Mrs. Wellers, please.
Yes, ma'am.
You may begin, Mr. Rand.
I, Jeremiah Stebbins, being of sound mind and disposing memory, do hereby make my last will and testament. To Agnes Wellers, my housekeeper, for whose constant devotion and kind care I have been ever thankful.
I was only too happy to do whatever I could. You know that, Mrs. Adams.
I know, Mrs. Wellers. And he knew, too.
Of course he did, Mrs. Wellers.
Oh, Mr. Adams, I'll miss him so.
We all will. Now pull yourself together. All right, Mr. Rand.
Yes. To Agnes Wellers, my housekeeper, for whose constant devotion and kind care I have been ever thankful, I hereby bequeath the sum of $25,000. In addition, it is my will and desire that Agnes Wellers be permitted to reside in my house, in the quarters which have been her home, for so long as she may desire to remain there. To Paula and Harvey Adams, who have been my close and trustworthy friends and who have filled my life with bountiful happiness, I bequeath all my property and my remaining monies, which total $250,000.
Why, how kind of him. We were nothing to him, really, but he treated us like a father would.
There's more. Another provision. It is my will that this legacy shall be transmitted to Paula and Harvey Adams 6 months from the date of the reading of this, my last will and testament, provided that the following terms are fulfilled. And in the event that these terms are not accomplished, I hereby will that my entire estate shall go to Agnes Wellers.
What's that?
Shall I go over it?
No. Never mind. Continue.
During the period prior to the transmittal of the legacy, Paula and Harvey Adams shall deliver to my appointed attorney each month one of the 6 brass buttons from my sea jacket.
Brass buttons?
That's what it says, Mr. Adams. Each month, one of the 6 brass buttons from my sea jacket.
Why, I don't believe it.
Harvey.
Why, it's a trick. The will wasn't that way when I...
When what, Mr. Adams?
Well, I mean, it's preposterous. Captain Stebbins wouldn't do that to us.
Do what?
Why, it's ridiculous. Brass buttons from his sea jacket.
Mr. Adams, this is Captain Stebbins' bona fide will. Those are the terms. You must comply with them. It shouldn't be very difficult, should it?
Well, no, I guess not. I'm sorry, Mr. Rand. It was just a little unexpected. You shall have the buttons. All 6 of them.
Sir?
Yes, Mrs. Wellers.
Sir, the day that Captain Stebbins took his life.
Yes?
The day they say he took his life. He was wearing the sea jacket with the 6 brass buttons.
Although Jeremiah Stebbins is officially listed as a suicide, there are a few questions I must ask, just routine.
Why, certainly, Inspector, we understand.
And Mrs. Wellers.
Yes, sir.
According to your former employer's will, Mrs. Wellers, and the fact that Captain Stebbins' body has not been found as yet, there is an excellent chance, isn't there, of your becoming the sole beneficiary of the Stebbins estate?
Oh, I don't want the money. Captain Stebbins meant it for Mr. Adams and his wife.
Yes, so it appears, but in case the buttons aren't delivered...
Oh, don't say things like that.
Inspector, please. She's very upset.
I merely said, Mrs. Adams, there is a chance of her getting the money.
But you make it look as if I...
As if you what, Mrs. Wellers?
Well, sir... As if I... Oh, Mr. Adams, make him stop. Please, make him stop.
The inspector doesn't mean anything.
Inspector, we've had a trying day, all of us. Mrs. Wellers, my wife, and I have suffered a great loss. As far as I can see, there's nothing you can accomplish by your questions.
No?
No. You've upset this poor woman enough. I must ask you to leave.
I hardly expected anyone to get so excited over a few routine questions. Since it's quite obvious who will receive Captain Stebbins' legacy.
All this, Paula. All this and all his money will be hers if we don't find those buttons.
But Harvey, she said he was wearing a jacket.
Paula, that jacket is someplace in this house. I know it. Did you look where I told you?
Yes. We'll never find it.
I'll search through the attic.
Captain Stebbins knew what we were going to do with him. That's why...
Stop it, Paula. Stebbins was just an eccentric old sailor. We'll play his game of treasure hunt, Paula. And we'll win. It's not in the attic. Did you try in the cellar again?
Yes.
Paula, the hothouse. Why didn't I think of it before? Of course, the hothouse.
It wasn't there?
No. But we'll find that jacket and those six buttons if we have to tear this house apart from top to bottom.
This closet. I can't open it.
What?
I think it's locked.
Here, let me try it. It is locked, Paula. I think we've come to the end of our treasure hunt. I'll open this door.
Mr. Adams, my room, what's happened? What are you doing here?
Mrs. Wellers, unlock this door.
But you have no right to come in my room this way. If Captain Stebbins were alive...
He's not alive. He's dead. And this is my house now. If you don't unlock this door, I'll call the police.
Phil, I'm not one to cause any trouble, Mr. Adams.
Well, then unlock it.
Here's the key, sir.
That's better. Paula, it's not in here.
I told you, Mr. Adams. He was wearing that sea jacket with the buttons the day he died.
Paula, are you going to sit here all night sewing?
Harvey, do you think Mrs. Weller suspects us?
Of course not. She'd have gone to the police long ago.
Maybe we'd better get out of this house. Now. Maybe we'd better get out of this city.
Get out of this house. That's rich. In 3 more days, the first month will be up, Paula. Then we'll have to get out. Because of 6 ridiculous brass buttons, this house, everything will be hers in just 3 more days.
Yes, just 3 more days.
Yes, you almost sound relieved.
Relieved? Yes, Harvey, it's better this way.
Better? To lose everything? To work, to plan, and be left with nothing?
Oh, we can start all over
again. Start over again with what?
We have each other.
Each other. That's great. Paula, for heaven's sake, stop that sewing. Put it away.
All right, Harvey. Harvey.
What's the matter?
My sewing box.
What is it?
There. In the box.
In the box. Paula. We found the first button from Captain Stebbins' sea jacket.
Darkened tavern along the waterfront, a sea captain leans heavily against the bar. He and the bartender talk while the waterfront noises gradually fade and the harbor lights around them, one by one, are shut. He tells the story of a murder and of a will. The murder of a sea captain like himself and a will which demands that the beneficiaries deliver to the captain's lawyer 6 buttons from the captain's sea jacket. Let us enter the tavern to hear the captain continue his strange story.
Well, barkeep, Paula and Harvey Adams found the first of Captain Stebbins' 6 brass buttons. The buttons that meant the difference between a fortune and poverty.
Yeah, so you said. The button was in the sewing box. How did it get there?
Should I go on with the story?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, as I said, the first button turned up. Only 5 more to go. And things were looking a little brighter for Harvey. But it was different with Paula. Very different.
Please, Harvey. Let's go away. We can't stay in this house another day.
We're not leaving.
Captain Stebbins brought that button here.
Stop that nonsense, Paula.
He's come back from the dead to punish us. Harvey, this house is cursed. We've got to get out of here before it's too late.
Shut up, Paula. Do you want Wellers to hear us?
She knows we killed him.
Paula.
They all know.
I told you to stop it.
Harvey.
Stupid, hysterical fool. You'll ruin everything. That button didn't fall out of thin air, Paula. Somebody is trying to frighten us. All we've got to do is keep our nerve. If we play our cards right, we can't lose, Paula. We can't lose. Paula, I'm going out. Did you hear me, Paula? I said I'm going out.
All right, Harvey.
Don't leave this room till I get back. And keep away from Weller's, understand?
Yes.
Did my top coat come back from the cleaners?
It's in the closet.
Paula, when did this coat come back?
Yesterday.
Who put it in the closet?
I did.
Well, look at it. Look.
Harvey.
It's been sewn on. The second brass button.
He did it. He's come back again. From the dead.
The second button. Here it is, Mr. Rand.
You're early this month.
Yes, I didn't want to keep you waiting.
Northbound express on track 5, leaving at 2:20. Northbound express on track 5, leaving at 2:20.
Ticket for Chicago, please.
Round trip, ma'am?
One way. Hurry. Please hurry.
Paula. Paula, stop.
Oh, Harvey.
You can't run away from me. I won't let you. Come along. I warned you, Paula, not to leave the house.
I can't stay there, Harvey. Please let me go away. Please.
Let you go away? Do you think I'm crazy? I've got to keep my eye on you, Paula. For all I know, you may be behind this button business.
Harvey!
I said you may be. Or it could be Weller's or that lawyer, Rand. I don't trust any of you. I'm taking no chances. You're going back to the house, Paula. And if you try this again...
Pardon me, madam. Here, you drop your change purse.
I'll take it, thanks. Don't be so careless, Paula. Here.
But that's not mine.
Not yours? Say, you, this doesn't belong... It's disappeared in the crowd. I wonder whose it is. Maybe there's an identification inside. Paula. Look. In the purse.
Throw it away, Harvey. Please.
You fool, Paula. Do you know what this means? The third brass button.
Paula was. You did it, Captain Stebbins. You made me kill her, and now you've come to... No, don't come near me. Stay away from me. No, I don't want it. Take it away, it's cursed. I don't want the button. I don't want it. Take it away! Take it away!
And when the police arrived, Barkeep, they found Harvey Adams, alone, cringing in a corner, stark, staring mad.
Well, that's enough to drive anybody crazy, seeing the ghost of the man you killed.
It wasn't a ghost.
Huh? Oh, now, hold on. You mean Captain Stebbins wasn't really dead?
It's an old saying, men of the sea drown hard. Harvey Adams would have done well to know that. His wrench never killed the captain. The water revived the old man, and he returned from the dead for justice.
For justice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see. But who are you? Now, you're not going to tell me you're...
Captain Stebbins?
Yeah.
Well, Barkeep, my ship will be weighing anchor. I'll be getting along. As I say, the land's no place for a man of the sea.
From shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in... The Haunting Hour.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Stay where you are. Do not break the stillness of this moment, for this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the Haunting Hour. Murder wears a strange mask. Every highway and byway is destiny's trail, and where it leads and what lies ahead is destiny's secret. Down a dark road speeds a car, bearing in it two who are destiny's children. Oh, they don't know it. To themselves, they are two people on their way to a masquerade ball. Steve Raymond and his fiancée, Marcia Phillips, heading for an evening of gaiety and laughter. But they are destined to spend a strange, macabre evening in fear. For one of the guests at the masquerade is death.
You're rather fetching in your gypsy costume, Marcia.
In a moment, I'll be tempted to read your mind.
Well, there isn't much I can hide from you, darling. Your womanly instincts are quite remarkable.
Especially where John Williams is concerned?
Oh, now look here, Marcia. I must admit this magician's disguise of mine isn't too effective. For one thing, it hasn't helped me to change your disposition.
Steve.
But if you will, my dear, please try to check your suspicions at the door. Fortunately, we're not married as yet, and Ben Carter's masquerade promises too good a time for you to spoil.
At the risk of being stubborn, dear, I'm curious to know what you see in her. Or perhaps you can tell me why Roy Benson is still madly pursuing her.
I guess he never stopped loving her. He was her first husband.
Just the same, Steve, dear, if I so much as see you go near her tonight, I might be tempted to drop a potent mixture in the punch bowl.
Oh, be careful with your predictions, darling. You're a gypsy fortune teller tonight, and I'd rather not see you proven accurate.
That's up to you, Steve.
You're a little early with your masquerade, Marcia. Wait till we get to Ben's place. Then you can feed strychnine to Joan Williams and all my other loves.
Oh, hello, Steve. Marcia. Oh, pardon me. I'm not supposed to know who you are.
That wasn't fair, Ben.
What else could we expect from my partner, dear? He knows every hair on my head.
Well, don't fear. I won't give you away. You both look perfect.
You've adopted a rather simple costume, Ben.
I've used this clown suit for 15 years. It's a durable disguise.
Good heavens. What's that fellow in the black tights and shirt supposed to be?
Hmm?
Oh, he's posing as the royal executioner.
executioner.
Who can it be, Steve?
It's hard to tell from here. I don't seem to recognize him.
Steve, I've simply got to find out who that executioner is.
Oh, now, Marcia.
He's just over there.
Can't you wait till midnight?
Quiet, quiet. Here he is. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Good evening.
That's a very unusual costume you're wearing.
Thank you. I merely borrowed it from a friend of mine. I hope it's effective.
Your voice, it's quite familiar.
Oh, now, Miss Phillips, don't you recognize Steve Raymond's rival for Joan Williams' hand?
Roy Benson.
Of course. I follow Joan everywhere. And especially on a night such as this, I couldn't resist seeing her dressed as Cinderella.
And in a very charming costume, too, no doubt.
Oh, but naturally, my wife, I beg your pardon, my former wife, has a talent for being beautiful.
Now, what sort of executions do you have a hand in, Roy?
Oh, no special method, Steve. I've really no preference.
Hush, gentlemen. The dream approaches.
Cinderella.
Oh, my, what a charming trio. A magician, a gypsy, and an executioner.
You're looking lovely, my dear.
Thank you, Roy. How are you, Marcia? I don't know. As yet. How are you, Steve, dear?
Looking for a glass slipper, Cinderella?
And perhaps a way to break our engagement.
Perhaps.
Quiet, everyone. Ben's getting ready to speak.
Ladies and gentlemen of the masquerade, as master of the revels, I welcome you to the ball. You've been asked here, disguised in the roles for which you have all longed these many years. You're all strangers to one another, your identity known only to yourselves. Thus you will remain till midnight. But till that hour, the mystery of the unknown is yours. The excitement of living a dream is in your hands. I see a magician here, a peasant, a statesman, a clown such as myself, and oh, there. There's Cinderella, who at midnight will find that dreams must end. But until the clock strikes, give yourselves to music and wine and dancing.
Now, there you are, my friends. The wiles of a sorcerer are many.
Oh, show us another trick, magician.
No, I must put my knives away now. One more trick, and your eyes will be quicker than my hand.
Steve, I've got to see you.
Oh, want to know how I did that last trick?
Come here, quickly.
What's the matter, Ben?
There's something upstairs I want you to see.
Can't it wait?
You had better come now.
Whatever it is, you're guarding it like a state secret. Ben, don't look so pale. It can't be as bad as all that.
Were you up here earlier this evening?
Yes, I think so.
Were you in the library?
You must have been spying on me. I was there a little while ago. Where are we going?
To the library. Here. Here we are. There. In front of the fireplace.
No, it can't be.
Unfortunately, it is. Joan Williams. Stabbed to death.
I don't believe it.
It's not an illusion, Steve. It's real. I found her like this a few minutes ago.
But how did it happen?
I thought you could tell me.
What are you talking about?
Look at that knife closely.
Good heavens.
Isn't that one of the knives that you were using in your demonstration tonight, Steve?
Oh, you're talking nonsense, Ben. I didn't kill her.
Who said you did?
Well, you inferred it. Oh, what's the sense of this wrangling? Joan's dead. I didn't do it, but I want the man who did.
There's a set of prints on the knife handle, Steve. If they match yours, well, that's the answer.
You're pretty well convinced that I'm murderer, aren't you, Ben?
We'll let the police decide that. I'm going to call them.
Well, no, you can't, Ben. You've got to give me a chance first.
No. What do you mean?
I swear to you that I didn't do it, Ben. Now, you've got to let me find who did. Just a few hours, that's all I need. Just till midnight.
All right, Steve. Till midnight, then.
Hello, darling. Who's in the library with you?
Oh, come in quickly.
Ben told me that you were hiding away in here. No! Steve, you killed her.
No, I didn't do it. I'm wondering if you did.
Don't be a fool, Steve. You can't get away with murder that easily.
I had no motive, Marcia. Unfortunately, you did.
Does anyone else know she's dead?
Ben found the body.
And he's called the police?
No, he's given me till midnight to find the murderer.
Oh, what a complete waste of time.
Not altogether, Marcia. Have you forgotten your prediction earlier this evening?
That's of no importance.
I'll admit I'm glad she's dead. But my wishing it didn't put that knife in her back.
That remains to be seen, darling.
Let's get it over and said with, Steve. I hope you're guilty. I hope they hang you. You've treated me like a fool. You've asked for everything you're going to get.
I didn't know you could be so vicious, Marcia.
I only hope that I'll be able to testify against you.
Thank you, my sweet.
I'm not interrupting, am I?
No. No, I'm leaving. Good luck, Steve.
Don't go too far away, Marcia. You might be very helpful to me.
I'll be here when the police come.
So long, Marcia.
Well, we both lose, Roy.
Yes. So Ben told me. He also said he thinks you did it, but I don't agree.
Thanks. Well, how about some evidence?
Haven't you any ideas at all?
No, but that executioner's costume of yours worries me.
I'm sorry, Steve, but this is my night off. My record's as clean as yours.
How about Ben?
I can't figure out a motive for him.
Well, he's my business partner. He might be trying to pin this on me.
Very weak, old pal.
Did you have a motive?
Well, I wanted her to marry me again, but she refused. Said she was waiting for you to make up your mind.
The police could claim I killed Joan to get her out of the way. Oh, they'll dream up some motive.
I tell you what I'll do, Steve. I'll come in with you. I don't think you did it, and I've as much a stake as you in finding the murderer.
Thanks, Roy. But we've got to work fast.
I want to talk to Marcia. She had a pretty good motive for killing Joan.
Yes, jealousy is still fashionable, Roy. That's a good lead.
You'd better quiz Ben. See what you can find.
He's been pretty anxious to call the police. I wonder what he's hiding.
Suppose you rattle a skeleton or two in his closet, Steve. Maybe we'll come up with a murderer.
Any clues so far, Steve?
It's not very encouraging, Ben.
Remember our agreement. Midnight's the deadline.
You know, Ben, I've completely neglected to ask you some rather important questions.
Now, what's on your mind, Steve?
Well, for one thing, how come you happened to find Joan's body?
I'll tell that to the police.
Oh, I'm trying to clear myself of suspicion of murder, Ben.
Make a very bad debating partner. Why not question Roy Benson?
Now, listen, Ben, this is no idle business transaction. You've accused me of murder. You might be decent enough to explain why I should be so certain of your innocence.
Suppose I call the police. Right now, Steve, let them settle the question of where the guilt belongs.
You promised to hold off till midnight.
Very well, then, but you might do better trying to clear yourself than just standing here arguing.
Goodbye.
Where are you going?
I have an appointment with an executioner. Want to come along?
Is Roy waiting in the library?
Yes. That's strange.
What's wrong?
The door's locked, but the key is in the lock.
Here, let me open it. Here we are.
Ben, look, there by the table.
Great Scott. It's Benson.
We're too late. He's dead.
It's horrible. The bullet did a thorough job.
Strange we didn't hear the shot.
I used a silencer. It's still on the gun.
No, don't touch it, Ben. Leave it for the police.
I want to apologize, Steve. You're completely innocent.
How do you know?
Well, it's obvious now. Roy killed Joan, probably because he was incensed at her refusal to marry him again. Then he committed suicide at the realization of what he'd done.
Well, that's a logical explanation, Ben, and it clears me completely, but I can't accept it.
Why not?
Because Roy didn't commit suicide.
Steve, look at the layout of the room yourself. The gun's in his right hand. He was shot in the right temple. And the body of his victims beside him.
Very neat deduction, but you left out the one flaw.
What's that?
The door to this room was locked from the outside. Obviously, death was instantaneous. If Roy had shot himself, he couldn't have locked the door from the other side.
Yes, you're right. I unlocked that door myself.
Yes, Roy Benson was murdered. And the killer must have been frightened away while he was locking the door.
Then you're still implicated. But it's a rather gruesome joke on you. Somebody killed the executioner.
A murderer has a sense of humor. Fine. Maybe my laugh's coming up.
Destiny's Highway has led Stephen Raymond and his fiancée, Marcia Williams, to the home of Steve's partner, Ben Carter, where a masquerade ball is in progress. It is a house of gaiety. Music and laughter pervade the lower floor. Yes, Downstairs, there is revelry, but upstairs, death. In the library lie the bodies of Joan Williams and Roy Benson, her ex-husband. Steve Raymond, who has come to the masquerade dressed as a magician, is the chief suspect. For while Roy Benson was shot, the knife found in Joan Williams' body was used in Steve's magic act. Ben Carter, Steve's host, has promised to wait until midnight before calling the police in order that Steve might find sufficient evidence to exonerate himself and perhaps find the real murderer. Steve is alone with Ben Carter. They're talking.
It's not very far from midnight, Steve.
Well, until they unmask Ben, I have a chance to find the murderer. The same person killed them both.
The knife that killed Joan was yours. But whose gun was it?
Well, the police can trace the registry.
That's impossible. The serial number was filed off.
How do you know that?
I examined the gun while we were upstairs.
But I had told you not to, Ben. I wanted the police to find things untouched.
I was only trying to help you, Steve. After all, you're the only one on whom the police can build a case. Remember, it was your knife that killed Joan.
Well, whoever stole that knife from me killed Joan and Roy.
Better use your magician's get-up of yours, Steve, and see if you can pull a murderer out of your top hat.
Yes, I'm going back to the party and do just that.
Magician.
Yes, madam, I'm a successful stockbroker. Same thing.
How about another chick?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I've concluded my last performance. For a long while, I'm afraid.
Steve, I've got something to tell you.
What is it?
I can't tell you here. I'll come into the next room.
All right.
Steve, I think I know who killed Joan and Roy.
Good girl. Who?
Ben Carter.
Are you sure?
Practically. I was in the library looking at Joan's body, and I heard somebody in the next room. I turned out the lights and hid behind the large chair next to the fireplace.
Did he come into the library?
Yes. It was pitch black without the lights, but he had a flashlight with him. He played the light all over the floor as if he were looking for something.
Do you know what it was?
No, Steve. I was afraid to look out from behind the chair for fear he'd see me.
How long was he there?
Oh, about 5 minutes. I don't think he found what he was searching for, though. When he left the room, he muttered something about coming back later.
Did you come right down here after he left?
Oh, no. Right after he left the room, I went to the phone and called the police.
Now, why did you do that?
Well, I found the murderer, so it was my duty to notify them.
How do you know Ben didn't hear you call?
Oh, I waited until he was far enough down the hall. I even kept the lights out in case he happened to look back.
How long ago did you phone?
Just a few minutes ago. I came right down here to you after I called.
I'll have to work fast. Come along, Marcia. I want to look at that library. Oh, no light showing under the door. Let's go in.
Nothing's been touched since I was here.
Now, what could Ben have been searching for?
Well, perhaps he dropped something when he killed Joan and Roy.
Yes, possibly, but what?
Steve, look. There, under that chair near the fireplace.
Yes, I see it.
What is it?
A large black button.
I recognize that. Didn't you notice that one of the buttons on Ben's clown suit was missing?
Yes, you're right, Marcia.
There. Doesn't that prove his guilt?
Well, not necessarily. The thing that still interests me is his certainty that my fingerprints are on the handle of the knife that killed Joan.
How could it have been used without disturbing your prints?
By wearing gloves and using the blade part of the knife for throwing.
That's very clever of you, darling.
If my prints are still on that knife handle, they were placed there when I used the weapon in my little act downstairs. When it was stolen from me, the prints were very carefully preserved.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to make a call, try to get some information on fingerprints.
Let me have the inspector, please.
Wait a minute. Someone's on the other extension.
Who is it?
Ben. He's decided not to wait till midnight, as he promised me. He's a little worried. Listen.
Inspector Boland, this is Ben Carter, 116 Ocean Road.
Yes, Mr. Carter.
There have been two murders in my house. You'd better send someone out immediately.
Two murders? Both at the same time?
No, they happened separately.
What's going on up there?
Please hurry. The murderer is still in the house. I'll watch him till you get here.
We'll lock the doors. I want no one to leave before I get there.
Crazy? He's giving himself up.
I'm afraid he's not, Marcia. He determined to prove me guilty.
Oh, he hasn't a chance.
Well, hasn't he? What proof do we have?
Well, I saw him in this room.
When Joan and Roy were killed?
Of course not. But why was he sneaking around in here looking for this lost button?
Well, whatever the reason, I'm afraid my goose and I are cooked quite thoroughly.
Oh, no, you're not.
Hey, where are you going?
Quiet. There's someone at the door.
I think you ought to know I called the police. They'll be here shortly.
Yes, I know. We heard you on the phone, Ben.
I wouldn't advise either of you to leave the house.
Why don't you stop all this pretense, Ben? We know you killed Joan and Roy.
Marcia is still loyal to you, Steve.
I was behind this chair earlier this evening when you came up here prowling around with a flashlight.
Well, why didn't you help me find what I was searching for?
Was it this?
Yes. Yes, the button from my costume. Please give it to me.
Oh, no, no, no. This goes to the police.
Well, Oh, don't be absurd, Marcia. I lost it up here before the ball began.
I'm sorry to contradict you, Ben, but it was on your clown suit when we first came tonight.
Well, I...
Thanks for calling the police, Ben.
All right, I admit I lost it up here after Joan and Roy were killed. I wanted the button back because I knew it would look suspicious if the police found it.
Mm-hmm.
It's midnight. I have to end the masquerade.
Yes, and we mustn't delay the master of the revels.
Coming, Steve?
Yes, might as well, Ben. We'll keep an eye on one another until the police decide which one of us is the murderer.
Ladies and gentlemen of the masquerade, the time has come when you must leave the mystery of the unknown and return to the reality of the present. The peasant will become a wealthy man, the clown a respected philosopher, the beggar a statesman. This is the moment. Unmask, please.
Ben, the police are in the hall.
Take care of them for a minute, Steve. I'll be right back.
Oh, I'll give them all the clues they require.
Well, what's the delay?
Mr. Carter will be here in just a moment, Inspector. My name's Steve Raymond. I believe that Mr. Carter considers me the principal suspect.
Did you do it?
No. I hope you'll believe me.
I believe no one, only evidence.
Would you care to see the bodies?
I want to see Mr. Carter first.
Come on, Inspector. That came from the garden.
Then that's where we're heading for. Let's go. All right, now, calm yourself. We've no time for hysteria.
Well, I was sitting here under this arbor when I suddenly heard someone moving in back of me. I turned around quickly and saw Ben come toward me. That gun was in his hand.
What did he say to you?
Oh, his face had sort of a crazy look on it. He told me that I was the only one who could possibly testify against him. He came closest to me and brought the gun down as if to strike me.
Did he hit you?
No. No, I dodged the blow and I grappled with him for the gun. Finally, I managed to get possession of it. And I shot him. It was the only thing I could do.
Let me see that gun, Mr. Raymond.
Yes, here you are, Inspector.
Will you hold the flashlight, Mr. Raymond?
Surely.
Now, just a little fingerprint powder over the butt of the revolver. There we are. Now, do you see the impression?
Yes, there are two distinct sets of prints on the butt.
Just as I told you, Ben and I fought for the gun.
Is your conclusion the same as mine, Mr. Raymond's?
I'm afraid it is, Inspector. Marcia lied in her story.
That's ridiculous, Steve. Don't you see the two sets of prints?
That's just it, Marcia. If you and Ben had fought for possession of the gun, the two sets of prints would have been smudged and blurred. Not distinct and clear as they are now.
It was very convenient of you to tell that story. Why'd you try to kill this man?
Try. He's dead, isn't he?
Not quite. Fortunately for him, one bullet missed and the other just creased his scalp. He'll be around shortly and in fine shape to testify against you.
This was your second mistake, Marcia. I first became suspicious of your sudden reformation in my behalf when you told me you dialed the police telephone number in the darkened library. I was convinced you hadn't phoned when we listened in on Ben's call to police headquarters. It was obvious from the inspector's reaction that it was the first report of the murders he had had.
Watch out, young lady. Don't make me chase you through the garden. I'm not that young anymore.
Let go of me. Go of me. Of course I killed him. Joan was a worthless fool trying to take you away from me. I stole your knife and used it the way you guessed I did. Your prints were on the handle, but Ben didn't know for certain whether they were yours.
Why did you kill Roy?
He accused me of killing Joan, and he told me that he had the proof to back up his charge. And I couldn't take a chance. If I hadn't locked the door, you would never have guessed that it wasn't suicide.
One mistake is all that's needed, young lady. Well, Mr. Raymond, I guess that's about all.
Yes, Inspector. I'm afraid the masquerade is over.
From shadows and stillness, mystery weaves a spell of strangest fascination, charging the mind with doubts and fears. For mystery is a strange companion, a living memory in the haunting hour.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our other storytelling podcasts, like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, visit CrypticCountyPodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.